give out. I had the girls give out different scriptures. So we're going to be looking to begin with in Luke 24. I've read and reread this scripture dozens of times the next last couple of weeks. It's amazing when you keep rereading things, what you get out of it that you didn't get the first or second or fifth or tenth time. It's amazing how the Lord does speak if you keep seeking after the truth. So I have somebody given verses from Luke 1:24, 1-12, and then 13-35, and 36-49. If you have your Bibles here, you can read along. If you just want to listen, you can just listen. So we're going to do that passage from Luke. This is Easter Day from Luke.
On the first day of the week, this on?
Yep.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes
that... Whoa.
While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened."
Somebody else at 13-35? I'll just read it. That's fine. "Now behold, two men were traveling on the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And the one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who you have not known the things which happen there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' They said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, certain women from our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went to stay with them, And it came to pass, as he sat down at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." And they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. Somebody else at 36 to 49.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with the power from on high."
Okay, the first Easter day. There you have it. Today's the day. It's a day we call Easter. Christians all over the world, think about it in your mind's eye now, all over the entire world, Christians are celebrating today, because this is the day that Christ came out of the grave and was resurrected. Amen. This single day, this single event, when Jesus rose from the grave, makes all the difference. Everything we believe, everything that we build upon the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. It affects everything. Our past, our present, and our future, our eternity. And why is it so important? What was it all about? It was all about you and it's all about me. His love. His love was shown through his death and his resurrection. But why the resurrection? Wasn't his blood that was shed in his death enough? You ever think about that? We know that Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's so easy to prove, that we're all sinful. We all miss it, every one of us. And it also says that the wages of sin is death. What we earn by our sin deserves punishment, and that punishment is death. Physical death and spiritual death, which is separation from God for eternity. We've earned it. We deserve it. But sinless Jesus, because of that great love he has for you and for me, willingly took our place, took our penalty, took our sin upon himself, and died. Let's listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah, if you have those scriptures, be ready to go when we get there.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
God made him who had no sin to be sin. Wow. That we might become the righteousness of God. That means he took all our crud and gave us his goodness and righteousness, right standing before God. What an exchange. How awesome. This was no afterthought that God was doing here. This wasn't just like a patch or something. This was planned from the beginning of time. One of the scriptures we know from the Old Testament that was written 700 years before it happened comes out of Isaiah 53. This is probably the most clear prophecy about Jesus taking our place. So let's read that from Isaiah 53, 3 to 6.
He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Do you hear the substitutionary in there? He has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Seven 700 years before it happened, God knew what his plans were. How about Romans 5, 8 to 11?
But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we should also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received reconciliation.
Hopefully you got that. God demonstrated his great love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's our faith. It's our believing and our trust in the resurrection of Jesus that gives us a right standing before God and gives us peace with him. It says this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, justified like we've never sinned, just like we've never sinned, when we believe what Jesus has done, and we believe in his resurrection, we have peace with God. But all this hinges on today, doesn't it? That's why the resurrection is so important. The fact that Jesus rose on that third day is ultimately important. This is what Paul says. He's talking about the resurrection here. And what if it didn't happen? 1 Corinthians 15. You might want to turn there and read with this. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read 1 through 7 and then 12 through 20. And it talks about the resurrection. Paul's talking to the Corinthian people about the resurrection. And then the fact that it is and what would happen if it wasn't. And then comes back to the fact it is. So let's, whoever has that, 1 Corinthians 15, let's read that.
Okay, 1 to 7 first. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters of the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Is that right? Okay. And
verse
12, 12 to 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
You see how important the resurrection is. Paul lists all these things that would be just, everything we're doing would be a joke, he's saying. Everything would be a scam. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, this is all a waste. But he says, indeed, he has risen from the dead. And we have become part of that. It's interesting there in the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, it says that he says this, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, it was all planned. Nobody, Christ was not surprised that all these things happened. It was part of the plan from the beginning. And he is alive and living. So the resurrection is a central truth of the Christian faith. Without it, the Christian faith can't stand. The resurrection is the teaching that we find in the book of Acts, that the apostles, as they were telling people about Christ, the risen Christ, it is the central teaching in the book of Acts. So we're going to just read a couple of these teachings out of the book of Acts about Christ being raised. We're going to go Acts 2, 29 to 32, then 36, and then Acts 4, and then Acts 17. So those three scriptures. So listen to this as they're preaching about the risen Christ and how important this resurrection is.
Acts 2:29, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God has promised him an oath that he will place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, and he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. And 36.
32. I'll go all the way to 32, Ben.
Okay. 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and he and we are all witnesses of it. And then 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
Okay, let's go to Acts 4. 1 to 4.
Acts 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000.
They preached the resurrection of Jesus. 5,000 believed at once. The truth rang clear in their ears about Christ being alive. There's lots of witnesses to tell them the truth about it as well. And let's go to Acts 17.
Go ahead. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed.
Amen. Paul was here in Athens, and he was preaching this truth to the people. And he was preaching the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus is risen from the dead. Well, that set them off, didn't it? They didn't believe it. Yet, it seems every time it's preached, some believe. Some hear the truth. They know it's the truth, and they believe. And that's what happened here as well. The truth of Jesus' resurrection was hard for many people to believe and to receive. You know, even his disciples had issues with it at first. Let's go back to that passage in Luke 24, if you would. I mean, these disciples were human. And they saw him die. And even though they were told he's going to rise again, either they forgot or they just didn't believe it. Now, as I was looking and rereading this scripture out of Luke 24, I really felt the Holy Spirit pointing out the fact that these early disciples had issues believing about Jesus' resurrection. There was unbelief. Even though Jesus himself had told them several times that he was going to die and he's going to have to be raised again. And I'll just quote two scriptures here out of Luke, same book. Luke 22, it says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised in the third day." I mean, he spoke that clearly to them again and again. Later on, the same chapter, he says, "Let these words sink down into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." I mean, he's saying, come on, guys, let this sink in, you know? And he told them various times that this is going to happen. And yet they didn't get it. They couldn't somehow believe it. There was unbelief. And so as we look at this scripture today, these dear women who love Jesus dearly are going to the tomb with their spices, like Colleen said with her children's story, to anoint that body. But they got there, the stone was rolled away, and there was no body. And we know that these two men, it says, stood by in shining garments. We know they were angels, because it says later in the same text that they were angels. And it's interesting what they said to the women. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" They're like, they didn't get it, did they? "He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." And then they quoted Jesus, and it's in red letters, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And then it says this in verse 8, "And they remembered his," Jesus' "words." Ha! Huh. They remembered Jesus' words. And they returned from the tomb. I mean, I bet they were running and skipping and... And they go back to the rest and tell them what happened. And this is what the disciples say in verse 11. and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. What did they tell? What did these women tell the rest of the disciples? They quoted what the angel said, I'm sure, which was whose words? Jesus' words. They didn't believe Jesus' words, because I'm sure they quoted them again, the same thing. But it seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. And then Peter goes to check it out himself, runs to the grave. It's not there. Sees it all just like the women said, and then comes back. But they didn't believe, did they? They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe the word. So, two of these men, they're in verse 13 to say, well, this is my take on it. This is Mike's paraphrase. Well, guys, I think it's a done deal. We just, you know, just get on with life. It's time to get about things. And so they decide they're traveling to this village 7 miles away in Emmaus, and they start walking to this town. And it's interesting because they're talking about the things that were going on. This part of the scripture is just, if you don't think the Lord likes to have fun, I don't know. But this is so much fun to me. I wish I could have been a mouse to be there, you know, to just hear it all. I could picture it in my mind's eye, these two guys talking about all that's been going on in Jerusalem the last 3 days, you know. And along comes Jesus and says to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then Clopas, one of them, says, are you the only person that's in Jerusalem that doesn't know what the heck's going on about the things that have been happening? And then Jesus says, what things? That's a crack up to me. What things, he says. He says, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests condemned him and delivered him to death and crucified him. But we were hoping he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, this has happened 3 days ago. Then they told him about the women. And the women came back from the tomb and they were astonished. They didn't find his body. Said, there are these angels. And they said, he's alive, but they didn't find him. And then Jesus says this to them. And this is scripture. I pondered over this long and hard and reread it and looked up Greek versions of different words and all kinds of things. But Jesus says this, oh, foolish ones. Wow. Slow of heart to believe. To believe what? In all that the prophets have spoken. Foolish ones. Slow in heart to believe. Not just some of what, but all of what was written. See, they didn't believe it all. That's why he says all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And then Jesus, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, think about all the prophets in there, expounded on them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Wow. What a Bible study they had on the road to Emmaus. Could you imagine? It doesn't get more anointed about the one preaching about himself. Opening up their eyes to understand all the Old Testament prophecies, all being fulfilled by Jesus. In that last week of his life, oh, hundreds of prophecies are being fulfilled. And he's opening up their eyes to understand this all from the scriptures. Wow. So they're drawing near to the place where they were going. And Jesus is indicating that he was going to keep going. And they're like, no, no, stay with us. Come with us. Stay with us. Eat dinner with us. The day's far spent, you know. And so he says, okay, I'll be with you. And as he sat down, it says, and it came to pass that he sat at the table with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. and he vanished from their sight. Oh my goodness. And they said to one another, did our hearts not burn while he talked to us on the road? And while he opened up the scriptures to us. I mean, they were having a heartburn, and it wasn't a Tums that could take care of it. I mean, he was putting some things down into their hearts that were truths they had never understood. And they just couldn't stay there in Emmaus. They hightail it back to Jerusalem to tell the rest, the Lord is risen, we've seen him. And as they're, I think Jesus' timing is amazing, isn't it? As these men finally get back to Jerusalem, and they're telling everybody about this again, what the women said was true. He's alive. We saw him too, and he was telling us all these things. And just as they're telling all this stuff, in the midst of that, Jesus shows up with them all. Behind locked doors, he shows up and says, peace to you. Woo. And they were terrified and frightened, supposing they had seen a spirit or a ghost. Why are you troubled, he says. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet. It is I, myself. There's only one man-made thing we're going to see in heaven, and that's going to be the scars of Jesus. Only man-made thing we're going to see in heaven. Those scars are still going to be there when we get there to see our Lord. He says, handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have. And he showed him his hands and his feet. And they're marveling. It says they did not believe for joy. I don't understand that. They couldn't believe it, even though he's there. They're still having trouble. And they're just overjoyed, and they marveled. And then Jesus said to them, knowing that they're still really kind of missing it, and it's like, hey, do you have any food here? I don't think Jesus was hungry. He's just trying to show them, look, I'm not some illusion here in front of you. I'm the real deal. This is flesh and bone here in front of you. It's me. And they give him a piece of honeycomb and some broiled fish, and he eats it. Ghosts don't eat, apparently. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He's, again, going back to what? The Word of God. The truth. And the truth shall set you free. And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. Praise God for that, because we're part of that. Beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Wow. He says, hang around in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem because I'm going to send the promise, capital P, of my Father upon you to give you power to be able to do what I'm asking you to do. That would be the Holy Spirit's outpouring on them. Wow. As I read and reread this and came back to, oh, foolish one, slow in heart to believe, what was it that kept them from believing? I had to ask myself that question. What was it that kept them from really understanding? I believe it was their tradition, the things they had been taught from little on up in the synagogues, that there's this one coming, his name's Messiah, and he's going to rule and reign, right? There are scriptures that say that. that he's going to rule and reign. And he's going to come on this earth and he is going to rule and reign. I can tell you that. That's going to be fulfilled. But they were looking for a Messiah that was far different than Jesus. And their concept of what that Messiah was going to be like didn't fit into those scriptures about him dying. They were looking for one that would rule and reign politically to set them free from the Romans. Is what they had been taught all along, all those years. So seeing a suffering servant Messiah was not on their radar. They missed it. Even though it was plainly stated in the scriptures, those Pharisees and those scribes should have understood it. And so should have these disciples. Because it was plainly in there saying that he would have to suffer and die. But they didn't have faith to believe it. Why? Because of their tradition. That's sobering, isn't it? So, Jesus sits down with them, breaks the bread, and their eyes were open. And Jesus, again, instructs these group that were gathered in Jerusalem then, and again, speaks to them. You know, it's easy to look at these disciples and say, how thick these guys were. How dense can you be, right? I mean, I look at it like that sometimes. I think, come on, guys. He told you. I mean, it's all in there. Why are you so thick? Why are you so dense to believe it? Those traditions and teachings, I tell you what, they blind us from the truth of God's word, don't they, sometimes? I had to think of our prophetic training that we're in the midst of in New Beginnings. I think it's a good example of what happens. We all grew up with this teaching, and that was not on our radar either, was it? The prophetic being a gift for today, to be able to hear from God and be able to comfort and encourage and edify people. I mean, this was not something that's a part of our understanding. And yet it's always been in here, has it not? And yet we, like these early disciples, it's closed to our understanding. And we're missing out on blessings if we don't understand all that's been written. But God is opening, just like he did to his disciples there, he's opening up our minds to understand it, that we can receive it and walk in it and be blessed by it. There's other teachings as well, other blessings I think sometimes we miss out on due to our not seeing or understanding all of the word. I think gifts of the Spirit have been misunderstood and not understood. One in particular, the gift of tongues. That there's a prayer language you can talk to God, spirit to spirit, that bypasses your brain. And then there's another one where you can speak in a public setting in a tongue, and then somebody else should interpret a word that God wants to encourage us with. We're uncomfortable with that because it's not something we were raised with. And so we're kind of closed to that part of the scripture. We're not open to that, just like these disciples weren't open to some of this. Teachings like on the word sozoed. We don't know that word because we don't really use it, but it's a Greek word being used in the scriptures for being saved, being healed, being delivered. And it's all a finished work of Jesus. But it still eludes us so many times. Even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus referred to in this text right here, the promise of my Father upon, up on the people. I think a lot of people still don't get that and have not been able to receive because our past traditions and past teachings, we have not understood the word and we're closed to that. I pray as we continue to read and continue to grow and continue to mature in our walk with the Lord, that he will continue again to open up our eyes like he did theirs to more and more of the word, that we can receive it and walk in it and be blessed by it and not miss out on the things that he has us for us. So this is my prayer for new beginnings. It's one that Paul spoke to the people in Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians 1, and this is the end. Ephesians chapter 1. As Paul speaks this over the people in Ephesus, I speak this over new beginnings this morning. And he says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul's saying to the Ephesians and to us today, he's praying that we may have revelation to be able to receive all that is our inheritance as children of God and the great power that is ours through him towards us who believe. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is in you now. Think about that. The same power that opened blind eyes and deaf ears and raised the dead lives in each and every believer, child of God. Same power is in you on all the things that he has in store for his church. If our eyes could be opened more and more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, his truth. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Thank you for your patience with those early disciples as they just couldn't get it. They just couldn't believe. And yet you said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us, Lord. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus, and yet we believe. We believe your word. We believe the truth of your word. And we thank you for it. Lord, help us not to be like these early disciples, not to be unbelieving, but to believe that all that you have written is for us, all of it. Lord, continue to open up our understanding to the things of your ways, to your